Here's the thing that really keeps me up at night, and I think many of you have heard me say this before, and that is what is happening to our microbiome. There is a mass extinction going on with our microbiome, right? Remember this number at the top bullet point, 300 to 700 species, which is the average between individuals, and this is individuals in the developed worlds, right? If we look at our closest ancestors, the tribes that are still living a fairly hunter-gatherer type of existence, a foraging type of existence. They live with the land. So they're the best examples of what our ancestors were like just a few hundred years ago. They tend to have upwards of 2,000 unique species in their microbiome, even today, right? If you look at the Hadza tribe of Tanzania, they're around 1,500 to 2,000 species in their microbiome. If you look at some of the Papua New Guinea tribes, there are 1,500 to 1,700 species in the microbiome. The average North American from almost 10,000 microbiome tests that I've run, whole genome sequencing tests that I'd run when we were at microbiome labs, the average we saw was around 200, right? Just keep that in mind. Our ancestors, just a few generations ago, had upwards of 1,000, 1,500, even 2,000 species of microbes in their systems. And remember, microbes afford the vast majority of genomic capability in individuals, right? We have lost so many of those species permanently. We're seeing now around 200, 250 species. Right, we've lost 30, 40, 50% of our microbiome diversity. In some cases, it's upwards of 8 or 10 times less diversity that we're seeing today. And that is one of the scariest things because as we lose more diversity, we lose more functionality, right? All those things I talked about, the serotonin function, the production of short-chain fatty acids, how important just those two things are to overall functionality. Imagine that the next generation had one species only that could stimulate serotonin production in their gut. And then one course of antibiotic, and that species is knocked down so low that they can't stimulate serotonin production in the gut anymore. All of those 10 things, the mechanisms I talked about, goes out of whack right off the bat. Right? Their bowels don't move anymore. They can't regulate fluid absorption. They can't coagulate blood properly. The bones are weak. All of that from the loss of those species. Right? When you look at the Hadza tribe in Tanzania, they probably have 50 species in their gut that can stimulate serotonin production. Right? So we might have today two or three, and we're trying to fight and hang on to those two or three species. So this is the part that's really important for us to keep in mind because it is our duty to support, grow, and diversify this microbiome to pass it on to the next generation, right? If we're not doing that, if we're not being good stewards of this amazing ecosystem that has been given to us through countless generations of human suffering and nomadic travel throughout the world and all that stuff, where they've gathered all of these microbes, and all of those microbes have been eventually passed on to us. We've lost many of those along the way. It becomes our duty to preserve the microbiome that we do have. So we have all of these amazing programs and all that out there to preserve the planet and the rainforests and the oceans and the rivers. Those are all really wonderful, important things. But our own ecosystem is decimated, and we're not doing enough to preserve our own ecosystem. And I can assure you that well before the polluted oceans and the polluted atmosphere and the diminished rainforest kills us, our own systems are going to kill us because of our diminished ecosystem and rainforest, right? So that is a very, very important lesson. That is actually one of the first points that stuck to me when I started working on the microbiome that has made me so passionate about the microbiome. Because knowing that, right, you cannot help but educate, work within, propagate, do your own part to improve the microbiome as a result of that, right? So why is this happening to our microbiome? Well, it's all of these reasons here, right? High processed foods, lack of fiber, lack of diversity in the diet, over-sterilization, the hygiene hypothesis. So one of the estimates is that the average adult spends 90% of their time indoors, right? 90 upwards of 95% of the hours in the day indoors. And most of our indoor areas are fairly sterile. So we're getting no exposure to microbes like we normally would. Keep in mind that humans evolved in the outside environment, right? And even though we lived in caves and huts and things like that for a long time, those environments were not sterile. The industrialization and the sterilization of our internal environments became a overshooting of the age where people were pooping in pots in their rooms and dumping that outside the window and all that, right? So we've gone past that renaissance and we've overcorrected to being overtly sterile, and it has a huge impact on how our microbiomes function. The lack of diversity in diet is another thing I'll hit on. I'll elaborate on that when we get to the diet portion that we're going to talk about. Lack of fiber is another thing I'll hit on as well. But just a couple of mentions on processed foods. So why are processed foods so bad for your microbiome? There's a couple of main reasons. Number one is because processed foods do contain compounds in them that can hurt the microbiome because our microbiome is not adapted to deal with these compounds, right? So these are certain flavoring agents. They are coloring agents that often are essential oil based or are volatiles that can actually harm and kill microbes. They also, of course, have pesticides, herbicides, antimicrobials, preservatives, all of these things that all kill microbes. And so when you're eating food, you don't want that food to end up killing microbes. You want the food to feed microbes, right? So processed foods do the opposite. The other problem with processed food is they have a low diversity in macronutrients, right? So you take a processed chip or something like that, it's made off of one thing. It's made out of cornstarch, or it's made out of wheat starch, right? And that is one molecular structure carbohydrate that's been, either extruded or baked or whatever it is to give it that crunchy feeling. But it's not a complex carbohydrate. It's not a diversity of carbohydrate structures. It's a single type of carbohydrate structure, which then just feeds a narrow range of microbes in your system. Right. So the lack of macronutrient diversity in processed foods is another reason it's not good for your microbiome. We know that lots of babies, about 33% of babies, are born through C-section. Those babies already have an issue with the amount of microbes they get exposed to during the birthing process. I'll elaborate on that in the upcoming slides. Acute and chronic stress. Humans are very unique in the animal kingdom in that we're the only species that has this issue of anticipatory stress, right? Anticipatory stress is this worrying component of it. Other animals and mammals don't have this. They have the fight or flight response like we do. But, if I'm a gazelle and I'm sitting there and I'm eating grass and I'm, just roaming and eating, I'm perfectly happy, right? I have food and the environment's okay. Then I hear a rustling in the grass behind me, and then I look over and maybe I see a predator. That increases my fight or flight response. It causes me to fight or flee. I run away, right? And then when I get to safety, I don't sit there and worry about the next time I'm going to encounter that predator. I actually just go back to eating again, right? So that's how most animals function. If that was a human in that condition, they'd be sitting there worrying about what did I do? What were the choices I made? When is that going to happen again? All of this anticipatory stress that we put on ourselves is a very unusual mechanism for your body to deal with the fight or flight response. So we're some of the only species that can be in a continuous fight or flight response, and that is very damaging to your microbiome, disrupted circadian rhythm, sedentary lifestyle, and so on, right? So there's a lot of long-term consequences from losing these microbes. We have to be good stewards of our microbiome and preserve it, and it starts with something like this course. So the microbiome regulates and drives lots of disease conditions, right? So think about the microbiome as a spectrum in terms of your relationship with your microbiome. On one end of the spectrum, let's say the left side of the spectrum, you've got a microbiome that is the most protective, supportive, enabling thing in your body, Right? It's giving you all the functionality you need. It's making you resilient, robust. You can deal with almost any kind of stressor. You can deal with any kind of issue. You can live an 80-20 rule where you make 20% bad decisions and still be fine. There's no issue. You can eat gluten from time to time. You can have drinks socially. You know, you're well balanced, you're healthy, but it's all afforded to you because of your microbiome that's highly diverse, highly supportive, and highly functional. Now, on the far other end of the spectrum, on the far right-hand side, not only is your microbiome not affording you all of that resilience and support the same way, it's actually driving disease pathology, right? So your microbiome is somewhere on that spectrum, right? We always want to try to work to push our microbiome to the left. It's not a zero-sum game. It's either good or it's either bad. There's a spectrum in how good or bad it can be. There may be a lot of good aspects of your microbiome, but there may be a few bad aspects that's driving certain conditions, right? So it's a nuanced segment, a segmentation and a spectrum that you have to think about. So again, we can't think interventionally. We can't go, oh, my microbiome's bad. I got to intervene and do things and kill stuff and modulate things in a very specific way. Or my microbiome's all good and it's just good for because that's how it is. These are things that we have to continuously work on. We have to continuously keep pushing our microbiome from the right-hand side to the left-hand side. Right. So we'll go through many of these conditions throughout the course. I'm not going to elaborate on each of them right now, but just know that your microbiome is a driver of all of these issues.